Hello and welcome. My name's Yvonne Halley, and I am the founder at bedandbreakfastcoach.com, where we provide coaching and mentoring for B&B owners, guest house owners, innkeepers, and independent boutique hotel owners worldwide to start, run, and grow their business in a way that supports their financial and lifestyle dreams and that both they and their guests love. I created this business in 2014. In response to a demand, and have been assisting clients and students worldwide since then. So, welcome to this podcast on three essentials to transform your rooms into luxurious spaces with little to no money. And my special guest today is Eleanor Goddard. So, Eleanor has been at the helm of luxury interior design firm Furnish and Fettle for the past 8 years, along with her talented team. She's crafted stunning spaces and helped refresh tired ones for high-profile clients like Grantley Hall, Snooty Fox, and Wild Plum Cafe in Harrogate, Oakwood at Rother, a stunning wedding venue, and various luxury holiday homes. And with her marketing background, Eleanor understands very well how thoughtful design can attract the right customers and guests and ensure that they have a memorable experience. And she's also a Yorkshire businesswoman with a keen understanding of keeping costs under control. So this unusual combination of skills makes her a powerful resource for those wanting to add the wow factor to their high-end hospitality business. So welcome, Eleanor. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Ron.
Great. So let's kick off with the first question then. How did you come to own Furnish and Fettle? What's the story?
Oh, it's a bit of a long, convoluted story. I started off my passion. I think I've always loved interiors. I've always been a fabric girl, really, more than anything else. I've always loved pattern and textiles. I used to do a lot of sewing when I was younger. And then, as a sixth form student, I got my dream job working in Laura Ashley back in the 1980s. So,
Wow.
quite a long time ago. But unfortunately, at that stage in the world, they didn't really talk about careers and what your passion was and what you actually wanted to do. And I ended up going on a bit of a zigzag path through a career. I did a degree in agribusiness. I then ended up working in various different sales and marketing roles, mainly within the medical field, which really funded my passion for doing up property. My husband and I did quite a lot of properties up and sold them. To sort of improve our sort of money at the same time. Before I got rheumatoid arthritis after I had my second child, and was unable to do that kind of career job that I was used to doing. So I found myself back at home and back to making curtains and blinds, but finding that I didn't so much enjoy sitting in my workroom by myself, but what I loved doing was going out and talking to people about their homes and how to make them beautiful, and then, helping them to choose fabrics and helping them pull the skein together. So I did that for a while, but then realised I really wanted to do something a little bit more businessy. I think I really missed the cut and thrust of the business world. So my husband and I decided to run a business together. He was sick of corporate world as well, and we bought an existing business that was called Jones Brinley in Wetherby. And we've spent the last 8 years transforming it really from what was just a curtain and blind and gift shop full of beautiful things, but into the sort of more professional design practice, which is the business that we run now. So it's been a varied route, but I think it has given me some quite unique skills that, along the way, that perhaps some people that start a career in interior design don't perhaps have the exposure to.
That is an interesting story, isn't it? So it wasn't like a straight line. It was sort of, as you say, zigzagging.
Yeah, all over the
Amazing,
place.
but gaining things on the way, gaining skills on the way, which is always useful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So congratulations on making Furnish and Fettle a huge success. What's your role now in the business?
So I have tried to step away from doing a lot of the day-to-day design on the residential side. We've got essentially I've got a team of designers now, and Perfectly honest, on the day-to-day and particularly the very technical stuff, which a lot of design now is computer-based, they're a lot better at that than me. So they tend to run the projects. I obviously oversee them and I can't help getting involved and having a look at what's going on. And I do a lot of the background work, the sort of the accounts, the management, the ordering, and some of that sort of stuff, but also I do all the marketing for the business. But on the design side, my particular passion is getting involved with our business clients. We're not a typical commercial interior designer. If somebody's looking for, a block of offices or a Premier Inn style hotel or something like that, we're not the right fit for them at all. There are companies out there that would do a lot better and a lot more cost-effective job for them. But the kind of businesses that I really enjoy working with are those that are looking for that really high-end residential look, and they have a very specific target client in mind, and they want to create an interior within their business, whether it's an office for a sort of complementary medicine practice, or whether it's a luxury hotel stay, or whether it's a clothes shop or whatever, because the ambience of the business is so important in attracting the right client and also positioning that business to be able to charge the clients effectively for what they want. So that's the sort of thing that I really enjoy working on. And I don't do it independently. I work with part of our team to do it. And I think that is really a unique thing where I'm looking at things and sort of all as well looking in the background and looking at the cost effectiveness of stuff, because things can be super gorgeous and we have some really super gorgeous stuff here. And that's fine if it's for your own home and you've got the budget to do it. But when things have got a commercial slant, sometimes you have to go, yeah, okay, it's beautiful, but we could do nearly as beautiful for a tenth of the cost, and we need
Right.
something a bit more hard wearing. So I've sort of got that head on it as well, reining the costs in, which for the business owners is really important too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to look at things. So you're really focused on sort of bespoke projects and niche as well, rather than chain hotels or office blocks. Yeah, I get that. I get that. Yeah. So, what? Let me just have a look at your some questions here that I've got for you. Yeah. So you've given us an idea of what sort of projects you mainly get involved with, but what makes Furnish and Fettle stand out as a business that can help hospitality in particular?
Yeah, I think it's that combination of the different skills we've got here. There are a lot of very good independent interior designers out there that are one-man bands, and they're competent at their skill, without a doubt. Now, I do know quite a lot of them, but here at Furnish and Fettle, we're a team. At any one time, I think at the moment there's 12 of us, but we do have students that come and go, and we've got a couple going off to back to full-time interior design studies at the moment. But there's always a bank of knowledge and expertise here. So we've got that knowledge of different styles and different products and a vast amount of experience, and we also have our own installations team. So there's that making things look gorgeous and making the layout work, but then there's also the technical side of actually bringing the design to fruition, and we can do that in-house, and I think that's really important too, and it can be seamless because business owners normally are wanting the end result. They're not wanting to talk about the design and then to have to go off and make it happen themselves. They normally want somebody to just make it happen. And we always have one eye on how it's going to happen when we're designing. So we're not giving somebody a design that then they can't bring to fruition, because we know that the majority of the time we're actually going to have to make that happen. So we're thinking about all those technical things as we go along, and we have all those skills and expertise in-house to do that.
Great. So let's have your first tip then to transform your rooms into luxurious spaces with little to no money for hospitality.
So I think the biggest thing that makes a difference in right from when you've got your photography, and somebody's looking at making a booking on an online platform or on your own website, or whether you're doing leaflets or whatever, is those images that really stand out are the ones that have the colours are all coordinated, it looks nice, but if you've got really beautiful quality cushions that are plumped and looking styled, I think that is the biggest thing that can either make it that shot look great, or it can completely let it down. These super thin pancake, cheap looking cushions that are dirty, that are nasty, that aren't color
They just
coordinated.
look used, don't they?
Oh, and it's such an easy fix. You know, it really is. They've just got to be plump, neat, well positioned. You know, and I see people that have clearly gone to a lot of expense with some expensive pieces in the property, and they've got the right colours in there, they've got granite work surfaces, they've done all this stuff. And then they've got these awful cushions that just look like they've been chucked on the sofa and they've come from, you know, Matalan or, you know, something, and it just lets everything down. And, you know, if you've got a scheme and you're having a residential scheme done by us and we're pulling everything together and we pick some specific high-end designer fabrics to go with your scheme, yeah, a bespoke cushion can be really expensive because you're buying for the fabric, you're buying the makeup, you're buying the luxury featherina. But there are ways around that. And something that I love doing for people is saying, well, hang on a minute, if we're not too fussy about exactly what we have, you've got some neutral curtains, you've got some neutral painkle, you've got some good solid sofas, let me go and rummage in our remnants, find something that will work with your scheme, and we can make you some really good high quality Furnish and Fettle branded cushions that are going to transform that whole room for a tiny amount but give it a really good luxury look.
That's a great tip because I think I sew myself and I always had a big box of leftover fabrics, and you can pick up these fabrics as well from soft
Can.
furnishing stores, right? Relatively
Yeah,
cheaply. And
absolutely.
you know, it's not, it doesn't need a lot of skill to put together a nice cushion cover. I mean, you can go to town on it with fancy piping and binding and stuff, but you can actually, if you go for the, like you say, if you go for the quality fabric, that it and it's not very much money because you only need a little bit of it, then you can actually absolutely transform a room with some really well-placed, color-coordinated, well-made cushions.
Yeah, and make sure that I think as well the inner is really important. A lot of people might not want a featherina. I mean, featherinas are what we would always use in our high-end luxury jobs because it's the gold standard. But there are issues around people not wanting them for ethical reasons or for allergy reasons. But there are some really good microfiber fillings now that are will hold that shape, and they're a little bit more expensive. But when you're talking a couple of pounds to get that really good look. And it just lifts it so much. It's a really good investment. So really good quality cushion inner, and get some nice fabrics in there, and it'll transform the room really cheaply.
Right, number one tip then is to pay attention to your cushions, ladies and
Absolutely.
gentlemen, right? So, okay, so great, Eleanor, that's fab. What about your second tip?
I think it's got to be paint colour, because paint colour, there's such a lot of it, and it really sets the tone. I think when we talk to the paint companies, we deal a lot with Little Green, and when we talk to them about trends in paint colour, that sort of yellowy magnolia colour that was around a lot, and it used to be the neutral. Now, the reason it used to be the neutral was because people used to smoke inside. So it was a good colour at hiding that sort of, I think, is it the nicotine which stains everything? And it was sort of to mask that really. But then once smoking was banned inside in public places, that fashion wore off and then everybody went grey. And then we've all fallen out of love with grey because it's very dark, dull, boring. We all know there are however many thousands of shades of grey these days, but it really isn't that exciting, and it's not warm, it's not cozy, it's not inviting. So I think that has to be the next tip. Make sure you've got a really good quality paint. Make sure if you're going to pick a designer paint color, great, either commit to it and buy it from the designer brand, or don't bother, go and buy a Dulux standard color or a basic whatever off the shelf, because you cannot match the designer paint colors. You can get similar, but you're wasting your time. It's not going to look the same. So if you decided you want, I don't know, Hicks Blue from Little Green, buy Hicks Blue from Little Green, or just go and choose something off the paint chart at B&Q. Don't try to get it mixed because it won't be the same. It will be different. But pick something that hasn't got a yellow undertone and is not grey, and make sure it's the right paint, because commercial spaces that are getting a lot of wear and tear need to have washable paint. So don't use a chalky flat matte emulsion. I know it's very fashionable to have a very matte finish, but the minute it's got little fingers on it, or dogs with waggy tails, or people walking up the stairs that have to hold on to things, it will get marked very quickly. So get a washable paint, or brands like Little Green Paint and Paper Library do these intelligent matte emulsions that once you've let them cure, make sure you follow the instructions on the paint as well, because sometimes it might be touch dry within 6 hours or whatever, but the paint doesn't really cure for up to 2 weeks. So try to get your decorating done at a time when you're going to have a void, so the paint can dry properly before it's going to get touched.
That's so interesting. So matte emulsion is the way to go, not the shiny stuff,
Yeah,
not the
but
silk,
you need,
right?
yeah, but you do need to just make sure that it is a washable one still.
Yeah.
So yeah, and the technology in paint has moved on a lot. So there are some really good projects out there, and it is worth getting that balance between the technical and also the beautiful at the same time. It can be done. And if you, the biggest expense of painting is going to be the labour. So make sure you get the colour right. Get a tester pot. Don't just pick a colour 20 minutes before the decorator's arriving. Make sure that you're happy with it, you like it, that it works in all the different spaces you're putting it in, and live with it a couple of days. Pop it on and come back a couple of days later and check that you still like it and that you're still happy with it, because it is the labour, the upheaval, all the hassle of doing it. You want to make sure that you're getting it right.
So Magnolia went out a long time ago, didn't it now?
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
grey is still around. I see it quite a lot in I have a little frivolous habit of looking at show houses for sale and to see how they're doing their interior design and see what tips I can pick up for my own spaces. And they're still very much very much using grey still.
Yeah, I think the warmer, and there's a lot of talk about this term greyish, where they become more of a warm beigey version of grey. There are some really good neutrals out there, and I'm all for neutrals unless you're going to commit to a really bold colour and go for it. There's nothing wrong with a neutral, it can be very useful. But the warmer tones, the more sort of stony colours and the beigier colours are going to be just warmer and more inviting in a
Yeah.
space.
And I think they also add a touch of luxury to the
Yeah.
look. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, so be careful with your paint is your second tip. So what's your final tip, Eleanor?
Lighting. Lighting is
Right.
really important. It's one of those things that often gets overlooked, and it can be quite hard unless you're a professional. But I think getting some statement pieces, some nice lamps. I think people often tend to undersize with lamps, little tiny lamps that are going to be lost. You're almost better without them. Get something big, get something that's a statement, that's right for the space. Your coffee tables in your lounge, make a feature out of it. You don't need to have a lot of clutter because it all needs cleaning. It all might get broken. People might steal it. All these things that come into consideration. A lamp that's plugged in is less likely to be a quick pickup item, but it can be a styling item. Beautiful lamp, nice lampshade, getting the right colour light into the room. It can make a real difference to the ambience of the room. And thinking as well about, feature pendants, whether it's going to be a chandelier in a lounge. Just getting that one wow piece can really transform a room. If you're doing something really luxury, it's that sort of thing that might be in the back of people's photographs. It just sort of sets the tone as being, wow, this is a really special space. Or if you've got an amazing hallway, it needs something statement. It can really detract from the space if you've got something that's really not to the same standard as the property in that space. But it's normally due to a size thing rather than it needing to be a crystal chandelier or whatever. It needs to be appropriate but the right size.
Yeah, lighting is a really important, and one of the things that I often tell my clients to do is, whenever if you can't afford a photographer, then put all the lights on in the room, even if it's the sun's coming in, because it gives a pool of light that then focuses the eye on a particular area of the room. But I think lighting is super important, isn't it, for public spaces and also to create that sort of inviting look in a hospitality room, in a guest room.
Yeah,
Yeah,
absolutely. Really key.
brilliant. Yeah. So what do you think about, downlighters, those things in the ceilings? Are you still advocating those?
I mean,
Yeah.
there's nothing wrong with them. I mean,
Yeah.
they've definitely got a place. I mean, it depends what you're trying to achieve in a room. I mean, I've just, in a kitchen, absolutely. You've just done a kitchen extension. We've had quite a lot of those put in because they really are a good way of getting task lighting in and having it in the right areas. So, absolutely. But you do need a plan if you're going to do that. You can't just sort of go willy-nilly banging them in. And there are different specifications of them as well. So it is just worth getting a little bit of advice, even if it's only from the electrician on what you're doing with that. Making sure you're considering where you want them to be, because some of them have more of a tilt and you're able to angle them to where you want the light to go. But yeah, there's certainly nothing wrong with those in the right spaces.
Yeah. Well, those are three great tips. So just to recap, be careful with your cushions. Get your cushions looking good, nice and
If you only
plump.
do one thing, sort your
Yeah,
cushions
sort
out.
your cushions out. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. The second thing is be careful, pay attention to the paint and the color that you're using to create the ambience that you want to create. And third, of course, is getting the lighting right and use making best use of lamps rather than just I think a lot of people make the mistake, and I don't know if you've seen this, of a very soft bulb in the lamp that is actually not doing anything at all. It's too dim to be a reading lamp. And so therefore it's kind of surplus. It's sort of just there for nothing. What would you say about that?
Yeah, I think you've got to think about the space and what it's actually going to be used for. And particularly in these spaces that you're renting out, think about, who your customer is, the group size they're coming for, and what they're coming to do. If you're sort of selling it as a hold yourself up in the auction malls and sit with a cozy book, you need to make sure that the people sat there can have got somewhere
Can
comfy to
read.
sit and they've got some lighting so that they can actually read their book.
Yeah.
But if it's a party space and they're going to be having cocktails before going out on the town, it's a different
Different
kind of
vibe.
vibe to what's going on, and that comes into every bit of the design, whether it's the lighting, the space planning, how much furniture you're going to put in there, how they're going to use the space. So thinking right back to the start, who's your ideal customer you want to attract and what are they going to be using that space for? And then you can work out how all those things then fit in from that. Because might be, just in the bedrooms, you just want to have some nice soft lighting. And it might be that that's all the rooms are going to be used for is literally going into sleep. But if the big family rooms and you've got different things going on, the couple might be still trying to read in an evening, or they might be wanting to plug their iPad in. Is there a socket next to the bed? All those sorts of things can either go unnoticed because they work, or it could be a huge frustration. I mean, I'm sure we've all stayed somewhere where you want to have your phone plugged in at the side of the bed and there's no phone, and that's your alarm, and you're plugging your phone in on a dressing table at the other side of the room, and it really drives you mad. So it's all those small attention to details about how you're using the space and will it work for what the people coming to stay are wanting to do in those spaces.
It so is. It so is. A long time ago in a previous life, I actually built a house. And those little micro decisions that you have to think ahead of time on the plans, where do you want the sockets? Where are you going to put the lamps? You have to actually plan the whole space out before we dug anything in the ground,
Yeah,
before we
absolutely.
even dug the foundation. There's so many micro decisions to make. And taking that down, to planning your room. If you're renovating a room, you have to think about all of these things before before you even think about going to buy the paint or what color it's going to be.
Oh, and it can be overwhelming. And we see this happening a lot with all our clients across both residential and the commercial side. By the time they get to us, they've been deciding on all this stuff, where to put the light fitting, what color sockets to have, what color, all this, the boring stuff, the door handles, all this stuff. And by the time they get to cushions, they just don't care. They just want some people
Just
booking
had
the room and
enough,
some money
right?
coming in. So
Just need to make some money back now.
It's decision fatigue and overwhelm by that stage. So that's by the time when people choose to come to us, then it's like, just give me some help, just get me over the line and just sort this out. So
Just
yeah,
do
no,
it for me.
it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work.
It's a lot of thinking. A lot of thinking takes place beforehand, and like I
It's
said.
like with most things, just having a plan. I think that's the top tip. Start with a plan. Think about who your ideal customer is, what they're coming to do, how big the group size is going to be, and just work backwards from that in terms of what are the important things in that property to spend the money on. You need to get your basics right. I'm not saying that you can fix a property by sorting the cushions out. If you can't do anything else, that would be a great start. But if you get the basics right, like painting it the right color, thinking about your lighting, all those sorts of things, the other things will fall into place. But if you don't have a plan, it doesn't matter how gorgeous your cushions are. If you've got 12 bedrooms, but you haven't got enough space for, 24 people to sit down for dinner, the whole thing isn't going to work. So
that happens so often. That happens so often, doesn't it? It really does. It really does. It happens so often, even in luxury high end places. We went on.
Oh, yeah.
We went skiing a couple of years ago and into with a. In France, in a luxury chalet, and it said it slept 12. Well, there were five of us, and it was fine. I wouldn't like to be one of 12 in that chalet. It
It
would have been
squished, was it?
Absolutely squished. It was, yes.
Yeah.
So
and it hangs the other way around as well. I mean, I've worked with a couple of people that have had, lots of living space, and they've had the spa facilities and, all this sort of stuff, and they've spent all the money and they've got loads of space. Then they get the guests there and they realise that actually they haven't really got enough guests to be able to fill the restaurants and, to make use of the spa, and then they're doing spa days, but actually the people coming from a spa day want to have some more accommodation. So then they're looking at, can we build some more shepherd's huts, or can we get an extension built on? So it really is, a little bit of planning at the beginning. Like most things in life, you have a plan, it tends to go better.
Yeah, definitely. Or call in the experts, right?
Or call in the experts. We'll always help.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much,
Eleanor. But you don't have to call in the experts for all of it. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I think, just a little bit of advice. Most interior designers will offer a buyer hour charge, and I mean, we can do a lot in an hour. I mean, I don't know how long we've been talking for now, but it won't have been that long, and we can cover a lot of ground and add a lot of value very quickly. So I say to people that it would really be worth just investing in a little bit of help on something, and whether it's even just one aspect that they don't feel comfortable with. Perhaps they're comfortable with the choosing the paint colors and sorting out the soft finishings, but they would like some help with a lighting plan. Something like that can make a real difference. But most people offer, and we certainly do a complimentary sort of half an hour discovery call as well. So, take advantage of that. And, I'd encourage any of the people listening to this podcast, I'm more than happy to do that, have a half an hour chat with you and, see how we can help you with absolutely no obligation. I love doing it apart from anything else. So, do get in touch. I'd be more than happy.
Brilliant. Where can we find you then? What's your website? What's your phone number, email?
Remember all this stuff. Yeah. So website is www.furnishandfettle.co.uk. Instagram's a really great way of getting lots of ideas. We put a lot of stuff that we do on there, and you can also sort of get a feel for us as a company and what we're doing. We do a lot of crazy stuff. We have a lot of fun, and that's always on there too. So that's Instagram is furnish_and_fettle. Links through to Facebook too if you don't do Instagram, but we tend to post on Instagram. I write quite a lot on LinkedIn about being a business owner, as well as some of the design stuff that we do. So you can find me, Eleanor Goddard, on LinkedIn. But yeah, any of those ways. You can
Brilliant.
Always, reach
I'll
out,
put all those
them.
Links. Yeah, I'll put all those links below so people can go brilliant. Directly to them. So that's brilliant. Thank you so much, Eleanor. I've enjoyed talking
My
to you.
My pleasure. Yes. It's lovely to talk to you.